language that we understand, that we will be able to understand what God wants us to hear today. Amen. I want us to read or to understand the fatherhood of God. And we're going to read John chapter 8 from verse 31 to 47. We're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 8 from verse 31 to 47. And the Bible says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Verse 39, Abraham is our father, they answered. If you are Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you will do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. Verse 41, you are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Now you need to ask yourself, when we ask ourselves, how did the Israelites interact with God? To them, God was very distant. To the Israelites, when they got to encounter God, it was on Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that there was thick cloud. Thick darkness covered the mountain. And they were told that no animal should come near the mountain. In fact, if an animal comes near the mountain, it's supposed to be killed, stoned to death. For 3 days, they were supposed to consecrate themselves before they come before God. And then on top of that, there was such thunder and lightning that when they heard the voice of God, everyone shook. And they said, no. You, Moses, you go and talk to God. Whatever God tells you to do, we will follow. Because to them, God was so majestic, God was so powerful and so scary that to them, there's no way that someone can relate to God as a father. But you see, Jesus came to introduce a different kind of relationship than the kind of relationship that God desired to have with humankind. The relationship that God desired and wanted to have with his children and wanted to have with human beings was of a father and a son relationship. But you see, it is possible to have a father but to live as a slave to your father. True or false? Because the Bible tells us that the son, the slave, has no permanent place in the house. But a son knows that they have a permanent place in the house. A slave works to be paid. The son works for inheritance. The son knows that everything that the father has belongs to him. Right now, in our culture or in our various cultures, if your father inherited lands, he cannot sell them without your consent. True or false? Why? Because even though he is the one with the title in his name, Because you are a son in that house, you are entitled to the properties of your father, right? Why? Because you are a son and you are not illegitimate. You are a legitimate, legal, by cultural law, by government of South Sudan laws, by family laws, you are a child and you are a son in that house and you deserve an inheritance. So remember the son, the prodigal son. He one day came and told his father, "Father, all these properties you have, which ones are mine?" And the father, for sure, he said, "My son, yes. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one." Then he said, cut my share, because it's mine, right? I am a son. The reason he could ask is because he's a son. If he was a slave, the father would have slapped and just get out of here. You're not a son in this house. But because the man is a son, he can ask and demand. He said, "Give me my share." And the father said, "Okay, here's your share." Then because the share was too much, he cannot carry it in his pocket, he sells it. Then he puts it in his pocket. Then he thinks of where he is. He realizes the people here don't know how to get that money. So let him go somewhere far. Because this money he has taken will never finish, right? It can never end. You know, there are people who get inheritance and their head explodes. Or there are people, their research has shown, anyone who wins betting, all those who become millionaires, within 10 years, they become poor again. They have won millions in betting, yes. But within 10 years, they become poor. Why? Because their mind has not yet grown to manage that wealth. So money comes to you when you are able to manage it. Why? Because if God is to give you a car now, and you will start going to campus with a car, instead of concentrating, you'll be thinking of boasting, right? True or false? Instead of attending class, you'll be telling your lecturer, "Which lecturer drives even here?" You know, all of you lecturers, I can carry you, I can give you lift. Have you finished Molimu? Let me give you lift in my car. What will the Molimu say? He said, "This one, I will fail. I have been horrible." And for sure, they will look for your answers and they will fail you. Remember, we used to have a lecturer who used to come when you're doing exams. He sees and then he starts laughing. He said, "This one is failing during the exam." And he starts laughing. He just shakes his head. Shaking. He said, "This one is failing." And for sure, if he has said you will fail, he'll make sure you fail. So this son demanded his inheritance. But why do you think that leave this one? Why do you think that God wanted a father-son relationship with us? Why do you think that God desired or God wanted a father-son relationship with you and me? Lamech, why do you think God is your father? Okay, because he has said that God wanted you to have a permanent relationship and also an inheritance. Okay, someone else. Why do you think God desired or wants a permanent, a father-son relationship with human beings? Does he need it? Okay, yes, tell me.
Yeah, I think God wants father-son relationship because he wants you to learn from
him. Okay. Okay, so as you learn from him, you pick his attributes and you grow in him. I ask you, why do you think a father-son relationship is important?
Go ahead. Then, okay, go ahead. Do the young man talk. So he created us to have a relationship with him, and we lost it. And he wants us to come back to him. Okay, Ayasi? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we speak of the fatherhood of God, we have to look at what are those things that define a father. How many of you know today is Father's Day?
I just saw it.
You saw it somewhere, eh? So today is Father's Day. But do you know the best father? Who is the best father? It's God. Who is the only father that will never leave us? It's God. Who is the father that created us? Who knows us? Who loves us? It's God. You know, some of the biggest challenges that we have among children, among families, is especially families that don't grow up with a father. Anyone who has been in a home without a father will know that there's something they are missing. Especially if you have had a father and maybe that father is no more. There's an emptiness that you feel. There's a protection. There's a love that is missing. And someone was showing that some of the people in broken homes, in criminals, they grew up in homes without fathers. So fathers are very important to a family. And I say, number one, the main importance of fatherhood is they are the source. Fatherhood is about source and origin. Your father tells you where you are from. Right now, if your mother has never told you your father, you don't know where you're from. True or false? You don't know whether you're Mundukuru. You don't know whether you're Mundari. You don't know whether you're Kuku. You don't know. You have no idea where you're from. True or false? Until your mother points you, this is your father. Then you will know where you are from. So, fatherhood speaks of origin, the source. So God is the source. God is the source of all human beings. Genesis 1:26, what does it say? And God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion. For the birds over there, for the fish, over the living creatures, over everything that God had created. And he made them male and female. In the image of God, he made them. So the origin of a human being, the foundation, the source of a human being is in the image and likeness of God. So for you to know where you are from originally, is where? God himself. He said, let us make man in the image and likeness of God. So the reason why every human being must find God as their father is because God is the one who originates everything. He's the source. So you only know your origin because of your father. So, where is your starting point? Is you are in God. The Bible says that before I formed you, I knew you. Jeremiah 1 verse 8. Before I formed you, I knew you. And I ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. Before I put you in your mother's womb, God knew you. Before God brought you and allowed you to even enter the earth, he knew you. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says that blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in him. He loved us. He chose us in him to be
conformed to the image of his son. God chose us, he predestined us in Christ. So you are not an accident. Your life is not an accident. You have an origin. Your origin is of God. That is why God is your father. And this is what Jesus was trying to teach. And he tells them, when you pray, say, our Father. When you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When you know where you're from, then you have the confidence, because God is our Father. A second important aspect of fatherhood, the first thing we have looked at is the source and the origin. The second thing is the character or the DNA. Character or the attributes. When he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, that means that you bear the image of God. When you see someone, this is the image. When you look at my daughter, what do you see? You see, this is a female version of Pastor, right? This one. Even if you go anywhere, they say, this child, I know the home. True or false? That means that when you say God is your father, we should be able to see the reflection of God in your life. That means when people follow you, they need to see that the character, the attributes of God are reflected in your life. Are you only known as a Christian in church, but at home they don't know you as a Christian? Are you known as a Christian only on Sunday, but on Monday to Friday we don't know you as a Christian? Many people work in the government. Many people work in customs. How many of those people who work there say they are Christians? 90%, true of words. But have you ever found any of them not taking bribe? So, they say one thing, but their character and their behavior reflects another thing. So, if you are to say God is your father, your character, the attributes of God must be reflected in your life, in your behavior, in how you live, in what you do, in even how you think, how you speak, how you do things. Let me ask a question. How is the economy? How is the economy? It's not good. But how is the economy to God? So, when I ask you, how is the economy? How are you supposed to answer?
You know, I have to deal with both sides of the world. To me, I want to tell someone, first, I will tell them, but I will buy the person because you believe in God for everything that happens. Because the truth is, they also need to understand. When they ask you that, they see something different. So me, I will have to tell the truth, but also in time.
Okay. How is the economy? The economy is booming. Hallelujah. By the grace. Okay. How is the economy?
The economy is bad.
Okay.
But we have the hope.
We have the hope. Okay. We have the hope.
We have God the Father.
So how does God speak? If you were to ask God, how is the economy? What would God say? When Jesus was told, he asked his disciples, feed these people. He told his disciples, you give them something to eat. What did the disciples answer? Even if it was 1 year's wages. Can you imagine your salary for
12 months. Still cannot be enough to go around these people. And then what does Jesus say? He says, you let the people sit down. And then he was told, one of the disciples said, here is 2 loaves, 2 fish, and 5 loaves. And he asked, but how far can it go among so many? Now, character of God. To God, when we say nothing is impossible with God. Is anything impossible with God? Is anything impossible with God? Now, if God is our Father, and we have His character, we have His attributes, we have His DNA, we are made in His image, we are made in His likeness, we are made like Him, we say, I am a child of God. Or it's, I'm no longer a slave. I am East. People start crying. A child of God. Split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears are drawn in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and say, I am a child of God. Hallelujah! And the choir says, hallelujah! And then at night, something comes to strangle you. So what is happening? What is happening? With one mouth, we say that God is able. Then with the next mouth, we say, things are tough. With one mouth, we say, everything is working for my good. Everything is working for my good. Double, double. And then in the top, I think I'll be sucked. With one mouth, you're saying, no. God, all things are possible. I'm getting married in 2024. The other man just said, Kai, how many Saturdays are left? There is no man, there is no dowry, there is nothing. There is no even anyone even on waiting list. One mouth you say, I am the head, I'm not the tail. Then in the other mouth you come and say, you know, even if I try, no matter how hard I try, I think I can't pass in maths. Me, I know. So now, is there a contradiction, right? There's a contradiction, right? So we are saying, God is our Father. But when we look at ourselves, we don't represent His image. We don't speak like Him. We don't behave like Him. We don't believe like Him. We don't create like Him. And yet we talk about fatherhood is source. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So anything that you speak forth, it comes from what you have been feeding yourself. Okay? If you feed yourself off the word of God, if you feed yourself off God, if you spend time in the Word, then what happens? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means that as you spend time in listening and reading the Word of God, there's a voice of God that speaks to you. The reason why people move from faith to fear is because they moved away from the Word and started listening to science. You move away from faith and you start listening to the doctor's report. You move away from faith and you start listening to your age. You move away from faith and you start listening to your neighbors. You move away from listening to the voice of God to start listening to your bank account. If you have one. You know, there are those who don't have one. Which is also okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Time will come. You will need those things because you can't be keeping millions in there. Nowadays, everyone will soon be a millionaire in South Sudan. With the economy as it is going, you might go to buy bread with 1 million. If we are not careful, right? If we are not careful, it might reach there. Millions. So, you know, in Zimbabwe, they're all billionaires. Right? As we are talking millions, there are places where it's billions. You are made in the image and likeness of God. Abraham considered that his body was dead, but he believed against all hope. In hope, he believed that the God who calls the things that are not as if they were, without wavering in his faith, he believed and he received his promise. You have to get to the point where you say, what I know of God, my God cannot fail. God cannot fail. His word cannot fail. You said you will say the truth. I wanted to ask you a question. Who is truth? Said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. All you need to know is Jesus. All you need to know is that you are a child of God. You're made in his image and likeness. You have a father-son relationship with God. So every attribute in you that does not represent Christ, you have to bring it to the cross. And say, God, I'm struggling here. I'm still struggling with anger. Deal with me. God, I still fear certain things. Deal with me. God, I'm still lacking in these areas. Deal with me. God, I need resources. Pour out your abundance. God, you said you will never abandon me. Let me walk with your presence. Let me hear your voice. Let me know that you are with me. Let me have that assurance that you walk with me. Abraham, he realized, he recognized, he saw God. And he said, even if I was to kill this boy, the God I know can bring him back to life. That is the difference between the faith of Abraham. Abraham was like, God already told me this is the promise. This is my child of promise. So even if I kill him at his command, he's able to resurrect him. And the Bible says, Abraham, he went up the mountain with his son. But when he came down. The Bible says, Abraham came down. That means to him, he had already given his son. There was nothing that he can hold that is important to him except knowing God. And the Bible says Moses forsook the riches of Egypt because he saw Christ. He forsook them. He left to be the prince of Egypt. He could have enjoyed being the prime minister. He was the son of the princess. He was the son of Pharaoh. He could have enjoyed the lilies, the tomatoes, the kingdom, everything. But the Bible says because he saw Christ, there is something that you must see that will give you a vision of life that will change your direction. The reason why we struggle as believers is because we are looking around. around us. We are trying to see who is walking with us. We are trying to see who is obeying with us. We are trying to see how many youth are still in the choir, how many youth are still in the service. You are still looking at others, yet you are supposed to be looking unto Christ. The reason we struggle is we shift our focus from Jesus. Peter, he was told, he said, "Lord, if it is you, call me to come to the waters." And Jesus said, "You think that is hard? Come." To God, that which you think is impossible, he just says, "Come." You're trusting God for breakthrough in the workplace. You're trusting God for a child. You're trusting God for marriage. You're trusting God for whatever it is, a scholarship. He just says, "Okay, come." So, how many people have walked on water? Number one, Jesus. Who else has walked on water? Peter. Those who are courageous enough to say, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come," are the ones who have walked on water. Why? Because he entered a realm where he saw Christ. And he said that if this is the Christ and he's walking on water, and if I ask him, "Can I do it?" and he says, "Yes," I will do it. And the Bible says, and Peter walked. He walked with Jesus. But the Bible says, but when he turned and saw the wind, when you turn away from looking at Christ, and you start looking at what is happening to you, and you start looking at your body, and you start looking at what has been happening in the workplace, in your family, when you start looking at generational issues, when you start looking at, "Oh, my family is going through this," your focus is where? Christ. Look to Jesus, now and live. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live. Look and live, my brother. Live. Look and live. Look to Jesus now and then. Things recorded in this world. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. When we speak that we are an image, that means we are a reflection of the glory of God. Amen. The Bible says, as we gaze, as we behold him, each day we are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory into his image, from glory to glory. Your life is a reflection of the glory you have heard, of the glory you have seen of God. Everything that you see around you is a reflection of the God that you know. Where you are is a reflection of the God you have understood. There were 11 disciples in the boat. None of them dared to walk on water. But Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come." And he came. The problem is we look at people. We say, "No, this guy is supporting me, I'm fine." We look at our uncles. We look at our brothers. We look at our sisters. We say, "Oh, if this uncle is there, I'll be fine." When you do that, God will kill that uncle. I'm sorry. You know, of the fatherhood of God, which is another point there, is discipline. Right now, this small girl of mine, when she misbehaves, there's a day I have to take the cane and say, "You're going to eat." They look at me. I say, "You're going to eat." Mm. I say, "You're going to eat." Mm. I remove the stick. Ta, I eat it. Mm. Again, are you eating? Mm. That is tough. Even with the And I'm thinking of her and I'm like, was I like this only? Because the child is a reflection of you. So I say, hey, maybe I'm this difficult also, eh? If she has decided, she has decided. But you see, God is a God of discipline. One of the ways that He shows us that He loves us, if you read Hebrews chapter 12, says, my son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord. Because the Lord loves those whom He disciplines. He disciplines those whom He loves. And anyone He accepts as a son, He has discipline. There is no one doing anything for God who has not gone through process. There is no one, come rain, come shine, come miracles, fake miracles. It's not fake miracles. The reason why people want quick things is because they want to jump the process of God. That is why they go to Miyoku Sheshe, eh? They go to witch doctors to get there. To become helpers of God. Eh? They go to wizards so that they can skip the process. But you see, God, the fact that He is a father, that means there are things that He gives you at a certain time. There are things that can come, He says, not yet. There are things that will come. And they say, no, I gave it at the wrong time. Because God is not just after you just growing up. He's after you becoming a mature son. And the Bible says that so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Anyone that is trusted with wealth by the kingdom of God does not own it. Some people say, oh, I want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. And then God said, go and sow a seed. How will I become rich? Oh, I want to be rich. And then they don't tithe. They don't even know what is tithe. They say that is old covenant. That is Old Testament. Show me where Jesus said you should tithe. It is there in the Bible. There are processes that God takes every son. The Bible says, for to us a child is born, but a son is given. That means sonship is a process. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God has many children, but He has few sons. Because sons take responsibility. When Jesus said, "Did you know that I will be my father's house, about my father's business." A son knows that even if I go to Congo, I must be about my father's business. Even if I'm the only one, I have to be in the place of my father, in my father's house. Sons take responsibility. Discipline. You want to go far with God, He will discipline you. You want to know God, He will discipline you. Job. What happened to Job? Chapter 42, he said, I used to hear about you. Can you imagine? This is the guy who was called the most righteous man in the East. He was the wealthiest man. He will pray every day. He will offer sacrifices for his children. He will pray for protection of everything. He had so many chapters describing God. Even God himself said that you seen my servant Job? But then he goes through something. He goes through some fire. After the fire, he said, I used to hear about him. But now my eyes have seen him. That means that what we think we know about God, we still don't know. What we think we know, what we think, oh, we have read this Old Testament, oh, I've read this Bible 5 times. We still don't know. The Bible says we know in part, we prophesy in part, but time will come when we shall know in full, as we are fully known. As you get to know him, he reveals a dimension of himself to you. As you desire to know him, God opens your eyes to see him. As you desire to spend time in his word, in prayer, God reveals his character to you. His character that you behold is what you become. What you see is what you become. What you see is what you reflect. What you hear is what you become. If you sit around people who keep telling you, oh, there are no jobs, I assure you there will be no jobs. But if you're among people who say, oh yeah, I just went for this interview. Oh yeah, I'm going for another interview tomorrow. Oh yes, they have done references. I didn't know, hey, how easy is it to get jobs? Even me going, why don't you do the same? And what happens is, faith is built. When the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals, do not be deceived. Bad company, that means the people who are you are around determine the direction you go. You stay with faith people, you move in miracles. You stay among grasshoppers, you become the next grass. You become one of them. Character, discipline. Trials are part of the school of God. I call discipline a school of God. There's no one who will be used by God who does not go through it. When he says narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. As you, let me tell you something. When you start working with God as a child, you can be having tattoo, you can be having earring, you can be having sagging, you can be wearing mini skirts, you can be wearing tights, high heels, you can be dyeing your hair orange. Everything you will do, right? But when you go to pray and you say, God, I need a job, what will he give you? He will give you, right? When anyone who's born again, the prayers are answered on the spot, right? Immediately they are answered. Why? Because this is a child. Children, when they cry for milk, what do? Even if you want to discipline the child, you give milk. Now, when you start your Christian journey, your road is wide. From there to there, this is your whole area of operation. You watch Netflix, you watch football, Champions League, you watch all the 20 games of the weekend. You don't miss a single thing. Then on top of that, the whole week you're discussing. Then you're spending 15 hours on Facebook. Your road is wide. But then, as you start getting to know Jesus, then he tells you, but now this Facebook, don't you think it's too much? Delete it for the next 1 month. Then you start thinking, my followers. I'm going to lose my followers. What will people say? I use it for communication. It's okay. He leaves you. Then you start praying, God, 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 I need breakthrough. Then you say, Facebook. God, why are you linking the Facebook to the breakthrough? Because I'm training you to be a son. Then your road starts becoming narrow. All of a sudden, that desire for football dies. When did it die? You don't know. But what happened? It was replaced with a desire for God. Why? Because he is a father. He loves you as a child. but he needs you as a son. He loves you as a child, but he needs you as a son. And anyone who moves into a son, the Bible says, if you read Hebrews, as a son Jesus, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. That means that in the school of God, there's something called suffering. And that suffering is not because you have sinned. No, it's just gold is made perfect by fire. So because he wants you to be pure gold, he purifies you with fire. So now your road gets narrow. Your road gets narrow. And each time you get closer to God, he reveals something that you have not yet died to. The journey of Christianity, you will die a thousand deaths. More than a thousand deaths, you will die. You will die to pride. You will die to your own way. You will die to money. You will die to your relatives. You will even die to your own husband and wife. Because if Job was not dead to his wife, what would he have done? What did the wife say? Why don't you curse God and die? Hey, what kind of husband are you? Look at all the wounds you have. And you're saying you're a man of God. Look at the man of God. The man of God has no food in the house. The man of God is walking on food. The man of God, the shoes are torn. The man of God has broken legs. The man of God. And that is your wife talking. Go and preach. Go and preach. Go and preach. You're going to listen to the man of God. Make sure you don't remove your shoes. They will see the holes in your socks. And you still have to come and you preach. Hallelujah! The Lord is good. And inside you have not eaten 2 days. Not because you are fasting, but because there is no money. In that process, what happened? Something in you is dying. The Bible says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. The process of fruit is death. I better tell you the truth so that you know the journey you're walking. You want power. You want miracles. You want to preach to crowds, yeah? You want to have the biggest ministry in South Sudan. South of Sahara. North of Limpopo. South of Western Hemisphere, eh? You know how they talk. You want to chase demons. European. Demons just leave. People are screaming. The demons are leaving. But then, when you enter, the demons say, "And this one, is he not our slave? He's our slave. He's our pornography. Where is the demon in charge of pornography? Come. Is this not your slave?" Say, "Yes, this is my member. Slap him." What have we read? You are of your father, the devil. He told them that you are of your father. You are not the children of Abraham. Why? Because you're saying you are Pharisees. You are the keepers of the law, but you're planning to kill me. That means your source, your origin, your character, your behavior, the things that you are doing reflect your origin and your source. So, as you walk in the fatherhood of God, you realize that he takes you through discipline. And this discipline is love. Tell your neighbor, discipline is love. The Bible says, no discipline at that time seems sweet, but it reaps a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. That means there is a training that God is taking you. In fact, when you face challenges, when you face trials and tribulation, just know that God loves you even more. The reason why some things can come easy for others and for you it delays is because God is taking you farther than them. Some is about fast food, but yours is slow cooking. Why? Because you're going far. You are going far! you through is a preparation for the future He has prepared for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. No eye has seen, young man, what you will be. No ear has heard, young woman, what you will be. They are just seeing you, this small girl. They have no idea what you're going to do among the nations. They have no idea. Says, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. You think what has happened so far is good? Forget it. I'm doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. He's in the business of conforming you to the image of His Son. He predestined you. He said, I'm going to make you in the image of My Son. Then now, He takes you through the process. There's a process. There's a journey with God. Christianity is a journey. It's a journey of love that you understand the fatherhood of God. Until you get to the point where money or no money, you're happy. Husband or no husband, you're happy. Child or no child, you're happy. Job or no job, you're happy. Clothes or no clothes, you're happy. And you're serving God and you're praising God. Why? Because your happiness does not come from the external things, but there is a joy inside you. There is something inside your belly. There is a voice that you hear. There is a music that you hear. And when you wake up in the morning, a verse enters your spirit. And you know, oh, I have a life in spirit. Why? Because God is speaking to me. The Bible says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And by that Spirit we cry. The Bible said He has left the Holy Spirit within us as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. That means the moment you can even feel condemnation that you have done something wrong, then that means you are alive. Because those who have gotten to the point where they have burnt, they have seared their hearts, they don't even hear the Holy Spirit. Thank God even when the Holy Spirit condemns your sin. Why? It tells you that He is inside you. And you're still a child. He's just telling you, my child, get back on the road. Get back on the road. Get back on the road. There's somewhere I want you to go. There's a straight and narrow path. If you find it, keep on it. Don't look to the right, to the left. Don't look at who is with you or who is without you. Don't look at who is competing with you or who is not competing with you. Don't be worried when others go ahead of you. Don't be worried when others go behind you. Don't be worried when others are at the same level. Keep your track. Peter was trying to ask Jesus, what about John? Will he die? Jesus asked him, what is it to you? You follow me. Don't ask where are the people. What is that to you? You follow me. God is a father. And He's a true father. He loves you. But it does not mean that He will spoil you. Train you. And when He has trained you, He can send you to Congo. He can send you to America. He can send you to Bangladesh. He can send you anywhere in the world. And He knows that is our son. I can send him alone and a church can come out of him. Responsibility is given to sons. You want responsibility is given to sons. But sons learn sonship in the place of service. Sons honor their fathers by serving. They don't serve for money. They serve because they are of that home. They have a permanent place in that home. Let us stand.